Thank you for coming, and thank you for looking forward to the message of our risen Lord, because it is Resurrection Sunday, as we've said. This is the time that we remember two of history's most important dates, Passover, which commemorates the exodus from slavery in Egypt after 400 years, and the greatest event of all, our Lord's resurrection. This is a Passover meal. Our family in Israel had a Passover meal this week, and we were speaking to them via Skype yesterday in Israel for some time, and things are very interesting in Israel, but we live in interesting times. Passover, the blood and the Lamb of God. Well, we know without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, from Hebrews 9, verse 22. Exodus 12 tells of the first Passover when the Hebrews were slaves in Egypt. God told Moses and Aaron to tell them that every man should choose a male lamb for his household and take it inside on the 10th day of the month, first month, which is Nisan. On the 14th, he must slaughter it and sprinkle its blood on their doorposts and lintels. In the homes of the Egyptians, who had made no blood sacrifice, the firstborn sons all died, as did the firstborn of their animals. It was a tremendous blow to the Egyptians. But the Israelites left Egypt that night as free people. The Egyptians were pleased to see them go. They went with quite a bit of treasure. And they could still keep God's request that they remember Passover, which they do each year in a family feast of lamb, of course. They don't usually have lamb, but they do that day. Our Lord is the Passover lamb, our Passover lamb. And on the 10th day of Nisan, rode into Jerusalem on a colt. Our Lord died at the same moment the Passover lamb was being slain in the temple nearby. This was on the 14th of Nisan. He was nailed to the cross at 9 a.m. as the lamb was tied to the altar in the temple and left there for 6 hours. Our Lord hung on the cross for 6 hours. At 3 p.m., the high priest slit the lamb's throat and our Lord cried out, "It is finished." The Bible is very precise in all this. It's a very precise text. So let's focus on the risen Son. Passover and the resurrection have been entwined from the beginning. The blood of the sacrificed lamb, smeared on the door frames, the lintels, etc., of Jewish homes, protected them from the death angel that went through Egypt. The blood of the Lamb covers all believers and guarantees the future of all who put their trust in our Lord's salvation. Resurrection Sunday celebrates his victory over death. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. That's from Acts 16, verse 31. Today we celebrate our Lord's victory over death. Without the resurrection, there is no faith. It would be meaningless. Our Lord would just have been another well-known preacher of the day, but the resurrection set it apart. Our Lord didn't come to earth to start a new religion, but to offer himself as the sacrificial lamb to pay the price for all our sins. And the empty tomb is proof of it. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, had gone to the tomb with spices and herbs to prepare the Lord's body for burial. They rested on the Sabbath, which is a Saturday in Israel, of course. And then on the first day of the week returned, and the tomb was empty. When they saw the tomb abandoned and open, their first thought wasn't that he'd been resurrected. No one had been resurrected before, and no one expected anyone to be resurrected before the eschaton, the last days, John 11, verse 24. They thought that the body had been stolen. Even when Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, she didn't immediately recognize him. The same when he appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. But the word spread through the small group of believers. It was news almost too wonderful to believe. He is risen. This news changed everything, and it changed the world eventually. The disciples went from cowering in a locked room to preaching boldly, unafraid, to be beaten, stoned, and even killed for this message. And over time, the message toppled the religious and political structures of the day. But it doesn't do that now because it will, of course. But they all need toppling. Most of the religious and political structures of the day need toppling again. The Christians spread out across the world, taking the gospel with them and sometimes paying for it with their lives. This is still true. I read something quite encouraging, actually, yesterday. about China, where there's a very fast-growing Christian community, many tens of millions, and they were predicting that by 2030, mind you, I think things will have changed a great deal before 2030, there will be 300 million committed Christians in China. The Communist Party is very worried because they fear losing their control, their iron control. But the gospel is freeing, and the people are freed by the gospel. We have quite a few readers on our website, which is, if you'd like to look it up, thefreepressonline.co.uk. It's got lots of messages, lots of information, and we have news feeds from Israel all the time, 24 hours a day, and news feeds from the Christian Institute, the Berean Call, and who else? Someone else, I can't remember. But it's coming onto our site all the time, and lots of information. So information is really being hard to find these days. True information, we're getting a lot of propaganda, but the true information is on websites like our own. There's a vivid picture of what the Lord had to go through as the lamb which was slain in Isaiah chapter 53. You can read it later, but it's horrific what he went through. The worst punishment any man had ever had on the world. He was pierced for our offences. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid on him. The punishments we deserve all went on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And I certainly did. But the Lord has caused the wrongdoing of us all to fall on him. When Pat was in Jerusalem, she tried three times to visit the garden tomb. Each time it was closed. She said to me, "Well, that doesn't matter. It's empty." I mean, places are not important, really. I mean, it is of great interest historically. But it's just an empty cave or empty tomb. It's really irrelevant because our Lord's not there anymore. The Gospels tell us Jesus was buried in the tomb of a wealthy man, Joseph of Arimathea. 3 days later, the tomb was empty. And it was empty despite the fact that it had been sealed by this huge stone. No, back further. It weighed about 2 tons and it was guarded continuously by a special contingent of Roman soldiers. Matthew 27, verses 62 to 66. They were there under strict orders not to let anyone tamper with the tomb. So it wouldn't have happened on their watch if they could possibly have avoided it, or they would have been in serious trouble. When the soldiers reported their startling discovery of the empty tomb to the Jewish chief priests, they were given a bribe to tell the people that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. That's Matthew 27, verses 62 to 66. As if they would have had the nerve to do that. They were scared. They were fearing for their own lives. They would certainly not have had the strength to move 2 tons of stone. But the Jewish leaders never challenged the fact that the tomb was empty. They knew the truth, really. If the Jewish or Roman authorities could have found the body somewhere of our Lord, they would have done. But they couldn't, because he was risen. The astounding event that we celebrate today is the basis of our faith. No resurrection, no faith. Simple. Jesus didn't come to earth to launch a religion called Christianity, or be a secular style leader of Israel, some kind of earthly king. He was the King of Kings and Lord of all lords, Lord of lords. No, he had a different mission on his first coming as the Lamb of God. He was to offer himself through death at Calvary to pay the price for your sins and mine. Romans 10, verses 11 to 13. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him, Jesus will not be put to shame. Something dramatic transformed this timid group of Jewish men into bold preachers who would turn the world upside down with a message that said, this man who you crucified, God raised him from the dead, and we are now to worship him. It's not a message that's easy to believe in. It's not a message you'd make up. They make up something that would be very palatable and sort of treacle coated and go down smoothly down the throat. But no, they told the truth. He was raised by God from the dead, and we are to worship him. And that is not a fairy story. That is truth. There's so many untruths and things out there, particularly in cults and isms. That's why we wrote a book about it. But this is the real God-given truth. Jesus' own brother, James, who didn't believe in him while he was alive, became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Peter, who denied him three times before the cock crowed in a fit of cowardice, began to proclaim him boldly, even before the very Sanhedrin council that had condemned Jesus to death. Acts 4, 1 to 1. A young Christian called Stephen became the very first Christian martyr. He gave his life for Jesus. Acts 7, verse 51. And the most ruthless persecutor of the Christian church, Saul of Tarsus, became the greatest missionary in the history of the church because he encountered the risen Lord on the road to Damascus. Acts 9, verses 1 to 9. That changed him. Everybody can be changed by the Lord. Everybody, everybody. There's powerful evidence of the effect of the resurrection. Look at the way people's lives continue to be changed today through their encounter with a living Jesus, a living Jesus. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Salvation is to be found in a personal relationship with a living Jesus. We don't worship statues. We don't worship myths and mythologies and strange things made up by New Ages and so on. No, we worship the only true God, the Jesus Christ whom you have sent, John 17, verse 3. The best way to understand the real meaning of today, Resurrection Sunday, would be from the words of Jesus. As is recorded in the 12th chapter of John, Jesus had been welcomed to Jerusalem by a large crowd singing praises to him, carrying palm branches and hailing him as the King of Israel, the Messiah. They were gathering to celebrate Passover, as they were told to. Such an outpouring of adoration made the Pharisees seethe with anger. You know, it's always the religious establishment, and it still is, by the way, not all, but a great many of the religious establishments around the world that stand in the way of accepting the Lord Jesus. They'd rather you actually went to them and did what they say. No, we do what the Lord says. The Lord replied, John 12, verses 23 to 26. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The one who loves his life loses it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant, that would be us if we follow him, will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honour him. When I was a teenager, I used to work on a farm on one of these combine harvesters, only a bigger one than this, and I used to be on a platform at the back. And I saw the great mass of seed coming through, and it came down these two hoppers at such a speed that you put a sack on one, threw it down a chute, and meanwhile you had to attach the other one before it came down, before the sack was on it. It was actually fantastic, the amount of wheat that came from a field sown with grains that had, just a tiny fraction of what you see here, because the seeds multiplied many times over, and that's what our Lord was meaning. His word would be multiplied. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Of course, we have not seen the Lord in face to face, but we believe. That's John 20, verse 28 to 29. This is doubting Thomas. When one of our Lord's disciples named Thomas finally encountered him after his resurrection, he cried out, my Lord and my God. Jesus replied, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those, that's the church that was to follow after all the disciples were long gone. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. John 20, verses 28, 29. I challenge all to believe in the risen Lord, that believing you may have life in his name. John 20, verse 31. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, verses 15 to 17, that if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 to 3, that our hope is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As we drive around America, and we've done 38,000 miles in about the last 20 years, you see crosses placed in fields by believers. And it's very uplifting and inspiring to see them, actually. The cross, the sign of the cross, they're bolder there than we are here. The resurrection sets our faith apart from all others. There is only one path to God, and it's not through Muhammad. This is Muhammad's tomb, containing his rotten bones. A rotten man with rotten doctrine and now rotten bones. He is nothing. This is in Medina. And thousands of people a year go and pay homage and worship at his tomb containing his rotten remains. His soul is somewhere else, and you can guess where. All other faiths, false faiths, are man-made. Their founders are long dead, their bodies are buried, and their souls are in hell. Confucius is buried in Shantung. The cremated bones of Buddha are in Nepal. In Romans 1 verse 4, Paul writes of Jesus, who was declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. The rapture of the bride, the true believing remnant church, is getting close. That's why this message must be got out urgently. It's an urgent message for a people that hear very little and know even less. They know nothing out there. They're not taught any of this in schools. They're taught comparative religions and all faiths. You can just pick and mix your own. It's not true. It's a lie. It's one of the great lies from the pit of hell, actually. There is only one way to God, and if you follow another path, you're going to be very disappointed 2 minutes after you die. That includes people who do a lot of good. And I mean people like Freemasons who, you know, do, quotes, good work. That will avail them nothing after death. And we've got a neighbour who's a Mason, and he's a fine man. I like him. We get on very well, but he doesn't want to hear about religion. Well, I'm not much interested in religion either. Religion as such is what caused our Lord to be crucified, because the religious leaders were jealous. They wanted to keep their influence. They wanted to be greeted in the marketplace like many priests are still today. So the true believing remnant church, who knows, 50 million people in the world, 100 million, I don't know, maybe a lot more. It may be more than we know about. That is getting close. We are going to be taken up to be with the Lord, and then all hell will start to break down the earth when our restraining influence is gone. The soon coming second advent is going to be nothing like the first. Our Lord is not coming back as a lion to be slain. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back in wrath and glory. Our Lord summed it up perfectly. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It's in John 11, verses 25 to 26. If people claim to be Christian, ask them, do you believe this in your hearts? And with that thought, I will close. Thank you. Please, actually, you can get CDs of this, DVDs, I believe, and the church sells them, obviously, at no profit. Or you can log on to the church website and get all the talks from all the speakers here, and they're worth spreading to a wider audience. And the time is short, so there may be a lot of unsaved relatives in your homes, in your friends' circle, and they need to hear the truth while there is yet time. The time is coming when it'll be very much more difficult to preach and teach this. It's coming very close right now. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.